Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoyed the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
All right, it's good to be with you today. In case you don't know, North Greenville University is located in Tigerville, South Carolina. And it's a great place to be. And Clemson University has been trying to get that name for years. We won't give it to them. And so we're glad to have it. Now, we have 2,400 students at North Greenville, and we have built $50 million worth of buildings over the last 10, 15 years. God's paid for every bit of it. We're God's university. We're proud of that. We use education. It's the neatest thing in the world. You're able to use the education to share Jesus Christ. And so we're proud about that and glad we can do that, because over the last, since the start of school this year, we've had over 200 saved on our campus. See, we're a place where if you're academically qualified, we want you to come. You don't have to be a Christian to come, but doggone it, we're going to work on you, and we're going to try to get you to accept Jesus Christ, and we're going to let Jesus. And we have chapels, you know, it's a little bit different. We require them. Our students that are here, they'll tell you, man, they're serious about this chapel thing. We make them go to church. Hey, Mama made me go. You got to go, babe. And so that's the way it is. And so, but it's interesting to watch when you have to do something, how Jesus sneaks up on people. And it's a lot of fun to see that happening. Now, you know, back in the, days back when they would keep meat cold in these ice coolers, none of y'all remember that, I'm sure. Maybe some professors. But they used to have these ice boxes. And so the old country store guy who owned the store in the community, he worked hard, you know, a lot harder than we do today. He started on Monday morning, worked all the way to late on Saturday night, and his only day off was Sunday. And so he was looking forward to it. It was on a Saturday, and he was looking forward to that. Oh, man, it's almost 6 o'clock here on Saturday. I'm finally going to get my day off. And so he was about to lock the front door to the store, and there was the dear old lady in the neighborhood, and she put her foot in the door, and she says, I know you're ready to go home, but would you just bear with me here? I hadn't got my chicken for tomorrow. She must have been a Baptist. I hadn't got my chicken for tomorrow, and it won't take but just a minute, but I got to have my chicken tomorrow. Will you please let me come in and get it? So they went to that old ice box, you know, and he said, oh, come on, ma'am, I guess so. And he went there, and he's ready to go home, folks. And so he put his hand in there, and he pulled the chicken up, and he said, here's the chicken. I guess you want it. And she looked at it, and he was so down and out about it all. And she said, you know, sir, I hate to bother you again, but that chicken's so scrawny. Could you get me another better chicken? And so he put his hand back in that box, and he moved it around, and all of a sudden he realized that was the only chicken in the box. And then he, you know, all good store managers, owners, you know, has some selling in them, you know, and he said, golly, I got one chicken, he thought to himself, and one chicken in the box, and if I'm going to sell this chicken, I got to do a little bit better. So he moved his arm around in that box as if he had about 10 chickens in there, brother. And he moved around, and all of a sudden he pulled up that same old scrawny chicken. He pulled it up, and he said, ma'am, look at that chicken. Whoa, I know you want that chicken. That's a great chicken. Oh, don't you want it? And she just sort of startled, you know. And she looked at him. She said, wow. She looked at that chicken and back at the guy. She said, well, sir, I reckon so. I tell you what, I'll take both of them there chickens. Now, folks, he didn't tell it like it is. Have you ever been deceitful when it comes to serving God? Today, I hate to tell you, not everybody in here is a Christian. A group like this, they tell me, when a group this size gets together, there's some folks lost. There's some folks who didn't really change. There's some folks who really didn't be born again. But surely most of you are. And we're talking about serving God. You're here to prepare yourself. Oh, man, we got people who are serving God, but my book says you've got to get prepared. Be the best you can be. If you're going to serve God, why wouldn't you be the best you can be? Why wouldn't you want to get stronger in the knowledge of God's Word? After all, it's inspired by Him. It's inerrant. I believe it all the way through the maps. Man, it's it. That's what we got to stay with and got to learn. And doggone it, if you're going to be my preacher, I want you to know the Word. If you're going to be my teacher, and by the way, teachers are even, the book says, even higher than the pastor, the preacher. Man, your teachers, your professors here, what a calling. So you're here to serve God? Well, have you been called? Did God tell you to come here and be a minister or a missionary or to be in full-time Christian service in some way? Did you hear Him say to you like I'm talking to you? Well, if you did, I want to get right beside you and rub shoulders. I've never heard His words. All the Bible says, it says plenty of places where He's talked to people and verbalized it, but I hadn't been that close. Evidently, He hasn't verbalized to me. But He speaks in all kind of ways, doesn't He? And hopefully you've heard clearly what He wants you to do. And that's why you're here. You've been called, and you're called to serve, but you've got to be prepared, so you're here to get prepared. Well, listen, in 1991... God was calling me to come to North Greenville University, North Greenville College at that time. It was a junior college. And I felt like I knew what He wanted me to do. Well, on our campus we have some sculptures. The students here that are from North Greenville have seen them. That doesn't make you a Christ-centered school, but it does remind you of what's going on and how you need to be about doing God's business on a campus. So in front of our library, we have a life-size sculpture called Fishers of Men. It's based on Matthew 4, 18 through 20. And those verses, I'm sure you know it without even looking. But Jesus is walking down the shores of Galilee, and there's old Peter and Andrew, His brother. And they're fishing, casting their nets, catching fish. At least we think and hope they were. And Jesus says, look, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, isn't it interesting? Serving God, immediately these guys dropped their nets and followed Jesus. Now, somebody smarter than I, these professors here can tell you, y'all check it out. I don't know. Maybe they heard about Jesus and knew Him from a distance. They'd been in maybe some services with Jesus. I don't know all the history up to that point. I'm not that smart and not as strong and all that. But so y'all debate that and figure that out. But these guys, whether they knew about Jesus or not, when Jesus said, drop your nets and follow Him, baby, they did. They didn't have to have a committee meeting. They didn't have to go home and talk to some friends. I'd had to go check my wife and my family and everybody else, perhaps. But they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. Now, there are two action points there. Jesus said what? Follow me. Now, Jesus has told you, hopefully, to follow Him. You've dropped your nets, wherever that is. You've dropped them, and you've followed Him. Now, maybe it's not as immediate, but you're following Him. But guess what's neat about the disciples here? Jesus already told them the results. Now, you're not sure about the results, I don't think. But Jesus told them, I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say you might become fishers of men. He didn't say, well, I guess if you make all A's today, or if you take Greek, or he said, I'll make you fishers of men. They already knew the results. That's not fair. So in 1991, when I came to North Greenville, God was calling me, but I didn't know the results. 329 students couldn't make payroll, couldn't pay the bills, $3 million in debt. South Carolina Baptist Convention said, we're through with that school. We're closing her down. Lord, you're not sending me there to close it up, are you? Well, I'll never forget that first day. May 1, 1991, folks. I felt called. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I felt God calling me there. And that's a message for another day. It's a tremendous message. My testimony about all that. But that's not the purpose of the day. I want you to understand clearly about being called. And listen, when you're serving God, it's got to be about Him. And so the first day on the job, folks, I had to eliminate 15 positions. We couldn't make it payroll. All the vice presidents, the way it worked back in April when they said I could come, I said, hold up all the contracts. The end of the school year would be May 31st. On May 1, I went in and I said, look, guys, I'll give you the whole month to find you somewhere to go, but I can no longer afford to have you here. You're going to have to leave. You can get paid for the whole month of May, and you got to go. But spend the whole time seeing if you can find somewhere else to go to work. 15 positions the first day, and I don't know how many more the rest of that year. Just trying to make it. End of the day, in that office, and some of you have been there, I was on my knees crying like a baby. Lord, what in the world have you gotten me into? This is against my nature. I'm upsetting families, lives. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. Oh, my, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. On and on. And again, I didn't hear His words, but I felt His Spirit. And you know what He said to me at that very moment? Jimmy, I know you can't, but I can. I know you can't, but I can. Look, the very next morning, a friend brought a placard in there to me. It's on my desk right now. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that was confirmation that I was on the right track. It's amazing how God speaks through others and so many actions of other people. And on it goes to see even more clearly what God wants. I know you can't. But guess what? There's hope. God can. Now let's look at another guy this morning. Nobody in here, I'm sure, knows anything about John the Baptist. But man, the Bible says very clearly that John the Baptist, he began preaching in the Judean wilderness. And his message was, turn from your sins, turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, how many preached this Sunday? How many taught this Sunday? Did any of y'all use that message? I hope you worked it in there somehow. Hey, turn from your sins. Turn to God. Because the kingdom of heaven is near. And I bet you thought you had a monopoly on that Sunday, didn't you? No, I know you didn't. But listen, you got to understand right here. After the death of Elijah, the voices of God's prophets were silent for over 400 years. And listen, the people and the leaders and the Jewish folk, they were saying, hey, man, they were ready. The Scriptures talked about the Messiah coming or Elijah coming back or some prophets. Man, they wasn't sure, but they knew that the guy was coming. Well, that's true. But as Isaiah also said, it was in Isaiah where John said, I am a voice in the wilderness. I am a voice in the wilderness to prepare. Yes, to prepare what? A path. Straightway for our Lord's coming. So John the Baptist wasn't the resurrected Elijah. But he was fulfilling the Scriptures. He was taking on Elijah's prophetic role. Now, by the way, Charles Spurgeon once said and joked that John was the first Baptist preacher to lose his head over dancing. Isn't that interesting? At North Greenville, we still don't allow them to dance. Isn't that terrible? And they, you know what they say about me? They say, well, I'll be walking across campus and there may be a boy and girl over there, maybe down there doing in the bushes or whatever. And they say, well, there's Dr. Epton and he's checking it out. And I say, well, oh, that's okay, as long as you're not dancing. You know, but the serious matter here is it John the Baptist? Also, they said his clothes were woven in camel's hair and a leather belt and he ate locusts and honey. Now let's stop right here again and let's look at that. Locusts and honey. Now that doesn't impress me, folks. And I'll tell you why. I'm an old Baptist preacher's kid, and it was always the deacon's kids that led me astray. I never did anything wrong, and the deacons, my daddy's ministry was he would go to a small church and he would get it, and as soon as he would get going, and as soon as a sanctuary was coming out of the ground and it was growing, at that point in that small church, I had one pair of blue jeans, and that was about it. And when I was starting to get two pairs of blue jeans, and that church was coming out of the ground, my daddy, we were off to another small church. I didn't appreciate that. I didn't understand that. I mean, I was starting to have a little bit more, and as soon as that happened, we had to go somewhere to a small church and start over. And I kept saying, Daddy, can't we just enjoy the moment? But Daddy was called to serve God by growing churches. Well, in these churches, all summer long, we used to get green beans. And so if nothing else happened, we had green beans to eat all summer long. And so I thought that was okay, but boy, I got tired of them. And then over the last few years, I've had my own garden. And I plant Blue Lake green beans. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I don't have a green thumb, but you can almost put those green bean seeds in the ground, and the green beans come right on out. They just pop up and they grow, and they keep coming. You pick them, they come back. You pick them, they come back. And I started figuring out those church people wasn't doing our family any favor. They're getting rid of all the extras, all those green beans. So after eating them day in and day out, thank goodness Mama had some honey on the table. And when you get tired of eating a certain thing, folks, let me tell you, you know this already. You put honey on it, guess what? You only taste the honey. So when John the Baptist said he eats locusts and honey, that doesn't impress me. He's covering up that old locust with that honey. But let me tell you what does impress me. Let me tell you what does impress me. He knew his role. He knew what his calling was about. He knew why he was on this earth. Look who's coming down the road. Woo! That's Jesus. Jesus is coming. Oh, boy. That's the one I've been talking about. No, it's not me. It's him. He's the Lamb of God. He's the one to take away the sins of the world. He's greater than I am. He existed before I did. He is mightier than I. So mighty that I'm not even worthy to stoop down and loosen his sandal straps. I'm not worthy to be his slave. Oh, check out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on what they talk about John the Baptist and what he has to say about Jesus. Man, he was baptizing hundreds. Oh my. Everybody thought he was the man, he was the prophet, he was the one, he was the Messiah. But he knew his role, he knew his calling. He was to serve. He was leading the way. Hey, I'm guilty. Is anybody else guilty here? When it comes to wanting to be about me and not about God? Down in South Carolina, in Spartanburg, there's a church, First Baptist Church in Spartanburg. Let me show you where I'm so guilty. A few years back, we have a singing group called Joyful Sound. They have two services, but the neatest thing about that service, Don Wilton and First Baptist Spartanburg, is that it's on TV. 11 o'clock, Channel 7, Spartanburg, on TV. They wanted me and Joyful Sound. We wanted Joyful Sound and wanted us to come and we were going to get to they were going to sing and I was going to preach and we were going to be on TV, man. I called my mama. I said, Mama, guess what? I'm going to be on TV. I've never been on TV before. I was going to be on TV. And I said, man, isn't that great? You got to watch it. My mama, she's a good old Baptist preacher's wife. She said, well, that's great, son, but I'm not missing church to see you. I said, Mom, we'll tape it. It's all right. We'll work it out. I didn't expect you to do that. Man, so we got there that Sunday morning. We were fired up, man. I was going to get to be all over the place on TV and talk. Oh, it was great. And so we had the morning service, and it was starting to rain, and a storm was coming in, and it was a good service. And then we, between the two services, Dr. Wilton showed me all around the church there, and then we went in with the deacons, and we had our prayer time, and 5 minutes to 11, you know, right here, just similar, right at the door, we were getting ready to come in, and everybody was talking, got to be on time, and be ready to go, and they showed me where the clock was right here, and that it starts at 11, and TV goes off at 12, so the Spirit stops moving at 12 o'clock, so you have to stop at 12, and we went through all those things, you know, and I was ready. And folks, I was right there at that door. I was right there at that door, and I opened it up, and this is the honest truth. I took one step in there, and the whole place went black. Oh! No power. You got to be kidding me. This may be the only opportunity I'll ever have to be on TV. And Joyful Sound has to have all these microphones and the mute, all that stuff, you know. And so everybody was hustling around. This had never happened. They were trying to find a little generator somewhere, at least get one microphone working. And lo and behold, they had a guest pianist that day, and he said, hey, I can play anything. And it just happened also that one of our Joyful Sound members brought their music in, and they don't ever do that at this point. When they learn it, they pretty much leave it. So Lord just worked the music out, and I was sitting right there, and I remembered old John 3:30. Jesus has got to increase, and old Jimmy's got to decrease. John the Baptist said that so proudly. And I said, you know, it can't be about me. If I'm going to serve God, if He's going to have a chance of making a difference through me, Jesus has got to increase. And I got up, and before I did, I said, God, please forgive me. Clean me up. Please forgive me. Clean me up. How could I dare approach his area? And how could I dare represent Him with that kind of attitude? Many times I'm guilty. What about you in your church, in your classroom, in things that you do all around? Well, let's see. I know I can't, but God can. I know that it needs to be about Him. But you know, there's something else I want to share, because we don't have time to really cover all the Scriptures in it. But there's one other sculpture of the four or five we have on campus I want to share with you. Because every day when I ride up the hill at North Greenville University, halfway up the hill, I look to the right, and there's our ministry center with admissions and financial aid and big lobby area and big meeting rooms. But right in front of it is a life-size sculpture of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And it reminds me what I've got to do when it comes to serving God. And I won't read all the scripture verses, but I do want to read this one. I don't do a lot of reading. I try to tell you what the Bible says. But in John 13, we'll go straight to verse 15. Now, you know, he talked about washing disciples' feet. But this one verse, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." "For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you." Folks, there's no qualifiers. Do you see any qualifiers? Look through that whole thing. Are there any qualifiers at all? Well, wash my feet if they're good to me. Wash my feet if they give me all A's. Wash my feet if they treat me the way they need to. On and on. We got so many qualifiers when it comes to serving God. What is our problem? Because if you just move right over to not far away at all, it says in verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Woo! Hey, everybody deserves a hug. And my students that are here will tell you what that means later. But you deserve a hug. You deserve to be loved because you're made in God's image. And the best way to serve is to hug, is to love, is to care about others, to reach out. Don't be so inward. It's about getting out. And letting God, not Jimmy. Oh, we get so wrapped up in all the wrong things. So many of you came in this morning all concerned about all the wrong things. You need to be concerned. Are you really called? Is it really about serving Him? You know what Jesus also said? He said, "I assure you, of all the people who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the most insignificant person in heaven is greater than he is." Wow! Are you kidding me? Greater than John the Baptist? Greater than me? You? Does that give you any idea of why you've been called to serve Jesus Christ? Whether you're in business, in medical field, a pastor, a missionary? It's about one more. One more getting saved. People have been talking about that some lately. We've been saying it since 1991 when I became president the first day. I want one more saved. Especially on our campus and especially off our campus. When is the last time you told anybody about Jesus Christ? That's between you and the Lord. I hope it was today. Well, first thing we've got to discuss real quickly is, have you changed? Because I've just spent 30 minutes or so talking about serving. And you can serve all day long, but it's not going to get you in heaven. God's grace, believing in your heart, Did you change? Now, if you're a changed person, if you're born again, then guess what? You want to serve. It doesn't work the other way. You want to serve. You want Christ to make a difference. So what is it with you today? So often when I come across people like this, groups like this, seminary, I get to speak a lot of different places, somewhere almost every Sunday. It's exciting to be out there, but I look out there and you look like you've gotten over it. You've gotten over it. How in the world could you ever get over something like that? Oh my, Jesus died on a cross. He lives today so that we might live. Don't act like you've gotten over it. You're in a rut. You get in that same old day-to-day thing. Don't get over it. Oh, there's one more lost person right now. Maybe in here. And I know they're out there. And God needs you. Every head bowed. 2 minutes. That's two more minutes for God right here. Every head bowed. And you spend time with God. You get clarified on this calling. You be sure about your calling. And if you're not sure, you pray right now. God, make it abundantly clear what you want. Have someone speak to me today. And you speak through them to me. Make it clear. And Lord, I want to be sure that you know I love you. And if there's anyone that has a question about being changed, you know how to get that right. We don't have to go through the sinner's prayer here. You know what to pray. You couldn't be on this campus. You can't be in these classrooms without knowing. Now's time to get that right. And last but most important, not as important as getting saved, but right next, are you ready to make it about Him and not about you? Lord, we just come to you. What a great place to be. You're all over this university, and I appreciate that, and I know you've appreciated it, Lord. There may be some who are hurting. There may be those who are having some concerns right now. We lift all that up to you. And if they made some decisions today about serving, about it being about you, about getting saved, help them to walk right out of here and find the first person they can and help them to tell others about their decision. Because your word's very clear that your Son, Jesus Christ, will acknowledge us before the Father if we will acknowledge Him before man. God bless you, Lord. God bless every one of these people. Lord, thank you for all you continue to do. Oh, God bless Southeastern. And Lord, most of all, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for your love. And thank you for loving us first. For Christ's sake, amen.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, we hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.sebts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.